I don't know whether you feel you've had a déjà vu moment. So that means some of you were awake last Sunday evening then. Because it's the reading that Tim had did for us last Sunday evening. And don't worry, I'm not going to repeat his sermon. I'm just... But we've had this this week of Harvest Events, and it's come to an end. We've had some visitors, people that we don't see on a Sunday morning. Some of you have attended the various things, events which we hope would be the kind that we could invite people to. But maybe, like me, none of the people you invited actually turned up. And but I was surprised, I don't know we should be surprised, but I was surprised. I was just checking with a couple of people I'd invited whether they were going to come to the quiz or the supper, and they said, well, actually, it was the husband I was talking to, and he said, I haven't been told so. So I don't know whether it sort of works like that in your household. But but then he surprised me by saying, we actually, we had planned to come to your harvest service. But mother-in-law became ill Sunday morning. We ended up in hospital with mother-in-law. So, you know, you never know what people are thinking when you offer them the invitations. I did actually tell him we are open every Sunday morning, but, you know, you never know. They may turn up. But we trust that those that did come enjoyed themselves, and I've already been told that some of the visitors were asking, when's the next quiz? So I don't know, we'll have to see what happens there. But we trust that people will come along and maybe one day meet Jesus, because that is what is important. We need to build relationships, we need to make contacts, but ultimately we want people to come to know Jesus. We've expressed thanks to him today. We've sung about who he is, being the Messiah and the one who did so much for us, and for his death upon the cross. And just pray that our eyes are open so that we can see that and understand that for ourselves. There's that hymn that says, living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried our sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, O glorious day. And we await that day, and I trust that we are prepared for it. As one of the things Tim said last Sunday evening is that the time is now. And so often we can sort of plan things for the future, but the time is now. And he made that reference to what Gavin Calver said when he was down at Pentecost about saying about how, you know, we have an open goal. The thing is, even these so-called superstar footballers who get paid millions to kick a ball can still miss an open goal. You see it on videos and things. But we need to make sure we don't miss the open goal, as it were, and we do what we can. We make sure that whether it's a gentle word or whether it's an action, whether it's a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, we do something. And we never know when or how, what impact that will make on others. We may never know. I put the board out on Thursday morning for the church to be open for quiet space. And there was a man sitting on the steps, and we started a conversation. He told me where he lived in Biddeford, and then he just started to tell me how lonely he was. And it must have been nearly half an hour we spoke for. And I was just struck that when I actually came in, I told him about what we were planning, the different things for lonely people and the warm room and that. And but when I finished, he just said, thank you for speaking to me. And we'd had a conversation. We hadn't really talked about anything specifically about God, although it was mentioned within the conversation. But I was just struck with the way that he said, thank you for talking to me. And just a word can make such a difference to people. And things are confusing out in the world, but also things are confusing in the church about what people believe and what goes on. One example of this was a telephone conversation we had with our son last Sunday evening after the, you know, I don't know about you, sometimes you don't hear much from your children. And then he actually rang while we were upstairs having refreshments. And I said, no, I can't speak now, I'll phone you when I get back. And we had this conversation, and as some of you know, he teaches RE in a secondary school in Dudley in the West Midlands, a school where amongst the 800 pupils, there are 41 different first languages. So that's, you know, interesting when you're trying to teach and do things. And he teaches RE. And he told us of an incident that happened. He said one, he was just about to start a year 9 class. For those of you who work in old numbers, that's year 3. And he's just about to start year 9 class. And one of the pupils walked in, so he'd have been about 14. And he just walked up to him and he said, sir, you're a liar. I don't know whether you ever did that when you were at school. Walked up to a member of staff and just said, sir, you're a liar. And he said, oh, that's interesting. What have I been lying about? You told us last time that Christians believe in God and they don't. Oh, he said. So what makes you say that? My dad's a Catholic and I asked him and he said he doesn't believe in God. And then I asked my uncle, he's a Catholic and he doesn't believe in God either. So Christians don't believe in God and you told us they did. And our son just said, well, really, it's quite a basic requirement of being a Christian to believe in God. And he said, no, you're a liar, sir. And the thing is, I can't trust you anymore. And then he went and sat down. So if that isn't confusing, what is? I will just say for the record, at the Harvest Supper last night, I sat opposite 2 Catholics who certainly did believe in God. Just to clarify that that position. But apparently he's one of an Irish travelling community who are sort of Catholics, and that was it. We may think it's amusing, but it's so sad that people are just in this confused state. Even people who think they're Christians because of the family they're in or because of the way that they have been brought up. Maybe they've been born into a Christian family, but none of us are Christians by right or by physical birth, but only by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. We've shared memory of what he's done for us with his death upon the cross, but he rose again, and it's for us to accept him as our Lord and Saviour into our lives. You've no doubt heard the saying that if you were born in a garage, it wouldn't make you a car. You know, we're not born just as Christians. We have to become Christians by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And we have so much to thank God for, and we need to share that with others. Even if at the end of it, they call us liars or don't accept what we're saying, we still need to share what Jesus has done for us. And it's surprising often who are the most effective evangelists. They may not be the people who've done the training and got the rubber stamp. They may just be people who know Jesus and love Jesus and just share Jesus in the way that they live. No one would have expected this Samaritan woman who had lived the promiscuous life to be the one to lead so many to Jesus. She went and told them who she had met and left them with the question, could this be the Christ? Could this be the one that we've been waiting for? And then they came out of the town to meet Jesus. We don't need a platform, just a heart to share Jesus. I think I've probably shared with you before, somebody was talking and they were saying that some people say there's a front row in heaven and they wonder who's going to be there. And he said, they think of the great evangelists or speakers or whoever it might be. And he said, well, I tell you, one person I think who's going to be there is our church cleaner. And then he went on to say that it was a big church in the middle of London. And he said, she's there 5 days a week cleaning and doing things. And she said, people come to church on a Sunday who we don't know. And as we talk to them, we find out that the first conversation they had was with our church cleaner. They'd popped into the church during the week to sit, and she'd spoken to them. And as a result of that, they'd come and said, I think it's going to be people like that who just get on with sharing Jesus who will be on that front row, if there is a front row. You can discuss that this afternoon in your over your whatever you do. And Jesus said to his disciples, open your eyes and look at the fields, for they're ripe for harvest. And it's looking for those God-given appointments, those times, those opportunities, which may surprise us, which may come when we're not ready for them or prepared for them. But we should be ready and prepared. We are part of a team. We don't have to do it all ourselves. Verses 37 and 38 of what Sally read to us today says that one sows and another reaps, and I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labour. Others have done the hard work. I don't know, you hear of many almost frustrated youth workers who spend a lot of time with young people, and they don't see any of them come to Jesus. And then they go off on a week's camp and give their lives to Christ. And they sort of say, why didn't they do that when they were in the youth group? But the ground has been prepared. The things have been done. And it's just what happens there. I remember reading a book by Ronald Dunn, an American pastor and writer, who said that he went to a new church as the minister, and almost as soon as he arrived, people started coming. And the church grew and things were happening. And some of the people who'd been in the church for a few years, they said to him, why didn't you come earlier? Why didn't you come earlier? This could have happened earlier if you'd come. And he basically said, well, it's nothing to do with me. It's God working. And then he started to look at the last few years of the church's life. And basically the church had been in quite a state, and the previous pastor had had a tough time basically sorting the church out. And he said, if I'd come 3 or 4 years ago, I'd have left within a week, because I wouldn't have been able to cope with all that was going on. But this man had worked through and had prepared you, and basically I'm just reaping the harvest of the work that has been done before. We are part of a team, and we just keep going, and we never know what impact we're going to make and when people are going to come to Jesus. And this woman's testimony was effective, but so is ours. However we came to meet Jesus and become one of his disciples, because it's our story and nobody can take anything away from it. It's how we met Jesus. It may not be dramatic, but it is wonderful that he should love us and that we can call God our Heavenly Father. We all have a story to share, our journey with him. And how will people know if we don't tell them? Just briefly, I mean, a part of my story was that I've brought up in a Christian home. I know some of you had similar experiences. Basically, come Sunday, you weren't allowed to do anything other than breathe and go to church. You know, you just didn't go out. You just went. Sunday morning was church. Sunday afternoon was Sunday school. Sunday evening, when you got to a certain age, you were expected to go to the evening service, and you just had time for meals in between. And that was the Sunday, and we weren't allowed to do anything. And when I left home, I'd committed my life to Christ. I'd been baptized. I left home. But I must admit, I thought, I'm going off to college. Perhaps it's time to explore the world and do things a bit differently, because my parents won't be around. And through a sequence of events, I didn't have opportunity to do that. I arrived at my digs and the landlady said, "Oh, there's somebody been looking for you. He's left a card, his name's Marcus Nolan." And I said, "Well, I don't know anyone called Marcus Nolan." I said, "Oh, well," he said, "he'd come round to see you." And then, because it was a Church of England teacher training college, they had teacher training colleges in those days. You didn't all go to university. You just you went for whatever you were doing. And I went to a teacher training college. And because it was a Church of England foundation, we had a service for first-year students and some people from local societies. And partway through that service, they stopped and said, "You know, you're all new, but there are people from the different college societies here. You may just speak to people because you probably don't know anybody." And this person in front of me turned round and said, "Hi, I'm Marcus Nolan, president of the Christian Union." And I just thought, what? He'd been to my digs, and there he was sitting in front of me. And then he sort of told me what the Christian Union did, and I thought, oh dear, trapped. and the first thing was they were all going round to somebody's flat. They were all just meeting up. First years were meeting up, and a couple of the older students. And I decided I'd go, and I can remember walking up and down outside that flat, thinking, shall I go in or shall I not? And then I said to God, because I come from a small town where there weren't many Christians of my age, I said, if I go in and there's one or two people there, then that's it. I'm going to carry on. Sorry. Well, somebody opened the door. Well, they just about managed to open the door, because there were people blocking the door. There were people up the stairs into the flat. There were people, bodies just over the flat. And basically, I never got to do what I thought I might do. And then I just joined the Christian Union and discovered people of my own age who had a real living faith with Jesus. And I take that as my start, if you like, of my relationship with God becoming my own, becoming personal, becoming one that was real to me. This woman's testimony was effective, and so is ours. Many believed because of the woman's testimony. God and his Son, Jesus, know all about us. There is nothing that we can hide from them. Yet they still love us, and they still care for us. And they want us to know that and to know them, so that we can live in a way that they want us to live, and that we can be part of their family. Jesus stayed for two more days, and many of the Samaritans believed because of Jesus' words. The last couple of verses of this section tell us that they believe. Some had believed because the woman had told them, but others believed not just because of the woman's testimony, but because they had met Jesus. And that is the important thing, for people to meet Jesus. And Christianity is not a second-hand religion. We can tell our children about it, we can tell others about it, but individually we've all got to make the decision to follow Jesus, to accept him as our Lord and Saviour. Somebody said, I heard somebody say a few years ago, in God's family there are no grandchildren. We are all sons and daughters of God. We have that relationship with him. And we all have to decide for ourselves if we're going to follow Jesus. No one can do it for us. And as you're probably aware, I mentioned it last week, that Brother Andrew, the founder of Open Doors, died last week. And an email, I have various emails from Open Doors, and there was one sent by Henrietta, who is the who leads the organisation now. And in that email, she included two quotes from Brother Andrew. One that says, God wants to use us to work out his purpose. What a privilege and responsibility. So let's get on our knees and pray. And may God use our prayers to change the course of history. And another in what Brother Andrew referred to as the step of yes. The Bible is full of ordinary people who went to impossible places and did wondrous things simply because they decided to obey God. Are we prepared to say yes and use every opportunity that he gives us to let others know? It may not be words, it may just be an act, so that we can be there for others and committed to the work of Jesus. Whether it's giving people a try praying book, whether it's doing something for them, whether it's being there for them, whether it's speaking to them, whatever opens up, may we pray that God will give us those opportunities and seek him for the way in which he wants us to live. It is our privilege and responsibility, as Brother Andrew said. So let's make sure we fulfill it by getting off the fence and living for Jesus. Because we have nothing to fear. God is with us. He is all around us. He is before us and he is behind us. The fields are white to harvest, but may we ensure we are involved in the harvest. I said, I think last week, I mean, growing up in a country place, although I lived in the town, there was plenty of opportunity to go and help with the harvest. And people just used to go into the fields and help with the harvest. We need to make sure we're one of those people who are available and willing to help with the harvest. There were groups of ladies particularly who used to just go and sit at the end of their road at harvest time, particularly when there were crops to be picked rather than the corn or the wheat. And you couldn't do it today, but the farmer would turn up in either his tractor or trailer or in just a lorry, open back lorry. And the ladies would get on and they'd take them out to the field. Now, obviously, he wouldn't be allowed to do that because unless he had seat belts fitted in the back of his or whatever else. But they would go out and they would work in the fields all day and then they would come back. We need to be ready to help the farmer, help God, the farmer, with his harvest. So may we be prepared to do that. May we be ready. May we be open and may we just seek him. But the first priority again is that we know him as our Lord and Saviour. And I pray that each one of us will do that and know that. And also another step, which is after we've come to Jesus, is baptism. And some people are aware, but there will be a baptismal service in the next, not next week. John breathes a sigh of relief, so he doesn't have to get the baptistry really. But we are in discussion, and there will be a baptismal service before too long. And again, if anyone else is thinking of that step, then do let me know so we can include you. in that service. But it will be a time of celebration, and not just for the person, but for us well, for us as well. So we look forward to that. But again, we just keep praying for one another, that each step of the journey we grow to be more like Jesus, and we are his disciples, and that we serve him in what he calls us to do. We finish our time together as we sing the song, Whom Shall I Fear?